still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail.
And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise God, everybody. The Lord is good. I want you to know tonight that we serve an amazing God who is so good, and he's always on time. He's never been late to dinner once. He's never been late to church one time. God is always an on-time God. Sometimes
Pastor,
we think...
are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Uh-oh. I forgot that I had muted myself. Praise God. Good evening, everybody. God is good. The Lord is amazing. We serve an on-time God who is always on time. He's never been late to dinner. He's never been late to church. He is always on time. Sometimes we think, God, where are you? I don't see you. I can't feel you. But we need to understand and know that God is a faith God, and he expects us to trust him. He expects us to believe his word. And we need to know in our heart that when he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that God is true to his promise. He's a promise-making, covenant-keeping God. What he said he would do, he will do it. And you can put total confidence, total trust in him. You can let go of everything and totally trust God. I've got a great word tonight to share with you from Hebrews that's really going to light your pilot. It's gonna set the furnace on fire. It's going to help us in our faith walk with the Lord. God is so faithful and so good. Whatever you're going through right now, I want you to know it's temporary. It's subject to change. Praise God. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We have several emails that we need to get to from last week. And then if you'd like to email us tonight, I'd love to hear from you. I also want to tell you about Chris Palmer's new book. I'm kind of expecting him to contact me here shortly. I'm getting a message. There's something wrong with my video. Your video froze during the intro. We can hear you, but your video is frozen. Let's see. What do I do? I may have to reset my video for Facebook. Praise God. Sorry, Facebook folks. I know you can hear me, but I understand you're having a hard time seeing me. So I was saying that Chris Palmer has a brand new book. I'm holding it right here in my hand, and I'm hoping he's going to call in tonight. I sent him a message that I'll talk about his new book if he calls in. So we'll see if he calls in and share that with you. I'm sure I'll share it with you anyways. Because I know it's just a dynamic, amazing, brand new book from the Greek, which I love to study and love to teach from. Praise God. And so we'll get to that tonight. And like I was saying, we got a lot of emails to get to from last week. Well, not a lot, but several. And so we're going to get to those. And then if you have a Bible question or a prayer request, maybe you're wondering what's going on with these times, what's happening, something that you need an answer for, which is in the Word of God, by the way. Every question that we have is in the Word of God. God is faithful, and he's already given us his Word, and the answer is right in there. So I encourage you tonight to email us, call in. You can email us at InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free in North America, 866-905-REAL, or anywhere in the world, 866-656-LIPS. All that information is right there on your browser. If you're watching or listening on Facebook at the moment, the information is right there as well. We'd love to hear from you. Praise God. I'm going to ask my FaceTime folks to, or not FaceTime, my Facebook friends. Oh, video is back. Praise God. Somebody give me another message. Just let me know the video is back. And that would be a blessing to know that. That way I won't try to reset things. Thank you, Jesus. Is it back? Thank you, Lord. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll get right into the word tonight. Let's pray. Let's join our faith together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful for your love and your faithfulness, your mercy, your goodness, your kindness. Lord, you're an on-time God, and you're always faithful to answer. You're always faithful to show up and take care of everything that we have need of when we put our trust in your word. And so tonight, Father, we put our trust in your word. We trust you that you who begun a good work in us, you're faithful to perform it. I pray for this listening and watching audience. I pray for each and every one of them that you will fill them with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that you'll fill them with fresh joy and peace. Thank you, Lord, that this is a week where we all will be increasing in the knowledge of God and the epignosis and the full and complete knowledge of you, drawing closer to you this week, closer to your throne, closer to knowing you, even as the Apostle John had his head in Jesus's breast. Lord, let us be that close to you this week. And we pray, Father, for every person listening and watching, that you will strengthen them, that you will answer their prayers. We know that you always do, and that you will strengthen and encourage each one. We thank you for this radio show. We call it blessed tonight in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody in agreement shouted amen. Amen. I got my amen corner here tonight. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to our text tonight. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm going to read it on 2 Corinthians. I hope you got your Bible and a pen and paper. Just realized I had to grab my Bible. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken." I believed and then I spoke. This is the spirit of faith. Having the spirit of faith, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You know, Christianity, I don't know if you ever heard this, Gary, Christianity is called the Great Confession.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have you heard that before?
I have.
So, you know, one of the bad names that even Christians have given other Christians is that, you know, that's the faith group. That's the name it and claim it group. That's the blab it and grab it group. That's the people that just confess it all the time. Well, that's what the scriptures teach us. And even the life of Abraham was a life of confession. The Bible says that God taught Abraham, and it says that even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. And it says that Abraham hoped against hope. Well, how did he do that? He did that because God changed his name in prayer. I'm sure, you know, his friends and other people around him thought he was crazy when for 100 years of his life, his name was Abram. And everyone knew him as Abram, you know, 100 years, Abram. And then all of a sudden, in prayer, God changes his name to Abraham and said, "No longer is your name Abram, your name is Abraham," which means you're the father of many nations. And they probably thought he was even crazier because he had never been able to have a child. Sarah couldn't get pregnant. She had never been pregnant. And now she's 90 years old. He's 100 years old. And the Bible says he hoped against hope, trusting that God was faithful to do what he said he would do. Imagine the amount of faith and humility it had to take for him to stand in the midst of those circumstances. And so, again, faith works by believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. Christianity is called the Great Confession. How do we get saved? Well, Romans 10:8 says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith," that's the name of our church, "word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," or Jesus as Lord, "and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Salvation works through faith. Faith works by believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. A lot of times things look contrary to what you see. See, the Bible says that when you're a born-again Christian, that now you are to yield to the new spirit. Now you're to become spiritual. But a lot of times people totally do not understand what being spiritual is. They think being spiritual means You wear a big cross around your neck, or you wear a big Jesus loves you pin, or you wear a collar to look like a reverend around your neck, or you carry a big coffee table Bible everywhere you go, or you do these different religious things. That does not make you spiritual. Very simply, what makes you spiritual is that you believe the word of God and you speak the word of God. That's a spiritual person. A spiritual person is one that believes and one that speaks. This person operates in faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. And when you walk by faith and not by sight, you will find yourself in a place of supernatural peace, supernatural joy, overcoming victory. You'll begin to see things differently. Even your bodily senses will be exercised under righteousness, under godliness. You'll be able to discern both good and evil. It brings you into a completely different realm. And my friends, we're just beginning in this walk. What you get down here, you're going to carry on for all eternity, because understand, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you think you only need faith down here? No, man, you're going to need faith for life. Praise God. That's the name of one of our other churches, Faith for Life Church. We're going to need faith forever. Why? Because God is a God of faith. That's who He is. Praise God. Now, we just read 2 Corinthians 4:13. Drop your eyes down and look at verse 17. Well, verse 18. And verse 18 says, so we walk by faith, not by sight. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. If you backed up to verse 17, he says, for our light affliction or our pressure, the word affliction here is phlipsis, pressure. If you know anything about the life of Paul, you know Paul went through great difficulties, great tests, great trials. And what did he call these very difficult things? He called them a light affliction. Whatever you're going through, it's light. You might think, oh, Pastor, you have no idea. This is the worst thing anybody's been through. No, it's a light affliction. Because what are we comparing this light affliction to? He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See, no matter how bad it is, even if they kill you, they're doing you a favor. Because to die is better. To go to be with Christ is far better than staying down here. Eye is not seen, my friend. Ear is not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Praise God. He has prepared for us. And then he goes on to say, but he's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. So the plans, the amazing things that God has for us is beyond what we can understand in this lifetime. That's why you got to remember how dark it is down here. You know, there are times we sense the presence of God. There are times we sense great joy and great victory. But we live in a land that's full of darkness. But in heaven, there is no darkness at all. There's not even a shadow. It is pure light, pure joy, pure peace. And so whatever you're going through right now, it's not worthy to be compared. I'm continuing in verse 17, to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He says in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. We don't look at what is seen. Why? Because we have the spirit of faith. And when you have the spirit of faith, you don't go by what you see. But what do we look at? We look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. And so walking by faith means that we do not focus on what we see, what we feel, what we taste, what we touch. You say, well, those things are real. That's truth. No, it's not truth. You know, a lot of times people try to say, well, you know, it is the truth, Pastor. What the doctor's not lying to me. These are the test results. This is the truth. No, it's not. It's a fact. I'm not denying the fact. I'm not saying that this is mind over matter. This is not, what do they call that? Christian science, where you're just trying to ignore the facts. No, we're not ignoring facts. We're speaking the facts. We're telling those facts, you're a mountain fact, and you got to get out of here in the name of Jesus. You know, these spirits that work in this fourth dimension, these demon spirits, are trying to bring Satan's will and desire in our lives, which is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And how? Abundant life. He wants us to enjoy the good side of life. And how do we do that? The only way to do that is walking by faith. Praise God. Now, jump over to Hebrews for a few moments, Hebrews chapter 10, and then we're going to start to get to your emails early tonight. If you'd like to email us, you can email us instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, prayer request, praise report, love to hear from you tonight. And we'll get to your questions and feedback here in just a moment. But before we do, go to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to focus in on verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Come on, grab your Bible. Grab a pen and paper, write this down. I'm going to give you some Greek words. You say, well, why are you giving us Greek tonight? Well, because Greek is what the original language of the Bible was translated from. And so 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so how do we do that? We do that by studying the word, by breaking down the Greek, by looking at the original words. Now, if you're asking how do you do that, well, the best way to do that is on your computer. And you don't even need to buy a Bible program. You can, there's Bible.com and there's different ones out there. But what you want to do is you want to look at the concordance. So you want to look at the word and then you want to see what is that word in the Greek and then what is the other meaning. But you can't stop there, because if you just take other meanings of the word, then what you can end up doing is wrongly dividing the word of truth. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. And how do we rightly divide it? Well, the Bible says that Scripture interprets Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, no Scripture is of any private interpretation. So we can't just come up with our own idea of what Scripture should mean. No, we have to make sure that we allow out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So the word is established based on other words, and then you rightly divide the word out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Praise God. I'm just setting out a phone number here. Our friend Chris Palmer is going to call in tonight. And so I'm sending him the number so he doesn't have to dig for it. So we're in Hebrews now, chapter 10, and let's read verse 23. The scripture here says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he, God, is faithful that promised. Now the word profession is the Greek word homologia. Homologia is where we get the word, well, it comes from two Greek words. It comes from the Greek word homu. Homu means persons who are assembled together of the very same kind. So it's individuals assembled together of the very same kind is what this word homu describes. But then it's added to this other word. The root word here is logos. So in Greek, you would call this a compound word, homo logos. Logos, it means words, sayings, or that which is written. So you hear me many times on this radio show use the Greek word logos. It's actually the name of my Bible program. If you're just starting out, you could check out Logos. They have a free setup. They'll get you set up for free. You get a few books for free. And then it gets expensive from there, let me tell you. But Logos is the most powerful Bible software out there. Our friend Chris Palmer, who's going to call in, that's what he uses as well. And it's extremely powerful. But the word logos, once again, refers to the written word. Then there's another Greek word, which is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Rhema refers to the spoken word of God. And this word rhema is what produces faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema. Rhema produces faith. But logos is critically important because Jesus is the logos. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is the Logos. So this word homologia is from the word homo, which means persons assembled together of the very same kind, and logos, which means words, sayings, or that which is written. So when we get the word homologia, it means to speak in harmony, or in other words, to speak the very same thing. But we've heard this word, many of us who study the Word of God, we've heard this word for so long. But to simply define homologia as saying that it means to say the same thing is inadequate to properly define the word. So when you read a book and you're listening to what the author says, so let's say you're reading a biology book and you're learning about cells and you're learning about cell membranes and you're learning about the nucleus and you're learning about the mitochondria and you're learning about all these different things, it begins to give you a deeper look at what a cell really is. So when you look at your skin and you know you have epithelial cells, you begin to understand now, after reading the book, the author has now taught you that there is a cell wall, there's a cell membrane, there's a nucleus, there's mitochondria. It's got these parts that make up the cells. And then you begin to understand that there are different cells, and different cells operate differently. And so there's a much more understanding of the information that you can abstract from reading what the author is trying to get to you. Well, when you read the Bible is the Logos, or the living Word of God, and God is now teaching us his spiritual ways. And when we begin to read these, we begin to now make a choice. Do I believe what the author says? If I believe what the author says, then it begins to change how I think. And as it begins to change how I think, it begins to change how I talk. If I'm talking with my children about cells, or if I'm talking with them about things that I've learned, that I have believed what the author has said, then now I can begin to talk to them in a different way, because I'm now speaking not just what the author has said, but now because I believe it, it's become a part of who I am. I heard a pastor telling a story about how he had traveled to another pastor's house, and he was preaching for him on a weekend. And he woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. He had only been there the one night, didn't sleep very well. And when he woke up to this ringing sound. He kept hearing this phone ringing, ring, 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 and it just kept going and going and going. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and nobody's getting up to answer it. Nobody seems to care, and he's starting to get aggravated and agitated. So he gets dressed, and he walks out to where the phone is in the kitchen, and it's still ringing. As he's walking out there, he's counting 54, 55, 56. He's like, if nobody cares who's on the other side of this phone, then I'll answer it. So he picks up the phone, and when he picks it up, he hears a dial tone. He's like, oh, what? And he hangs it up, but he still keeps hearing a ring, a ring. And then he looks over onto a table in the kitchen, and there's something on top of the table, and on top of that something is a white sheet. And when he goes over to it, he pulls the sheet off, and it's a bird cage. And inside is an African parrot, and it started saying it again, ring, ring, ring. And so it wasn't the telephone, it was a parrot. Well, what had happened? Well, the parrot had heard the sound, and the parrot just kept echoing or repeating that sound. So this was not a parrot that was speaking by faith. This was a parrot who was just echoing what he had heard. And sometimes that's what happens in Christianity. That's what happens in church, is that people hear what the pastor says, they hear what one of the precious believers say, and then they just start echoing it, and they just start acting like a parrot. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. But the Logos has not gotten into their spirit, has not become rhema, has not become faith. And now the words that they're saying are not words that are coming from the heart of faith. They're simply coming from what they heard with their outside ear. This is not what homologia is. Homologio means that the words of the author have gotten inside your spirit. You believe them, and now you're saying them, the same thing the author has said, from a place of faith. Praise God. And so Logos is more than written words. Logos is who the Father is. Who are the Father's words? The Father's words are Jesus. Like we just read, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. The homologia, the Logos rather. The Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Praise God. And when you believe it, then it becomes homologia, because now you begin to say it. You begin to say the same thing. This is how we got saved. That if thou shalt homologia, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is faith 101. This is how faith 100 rather. This is how faith works. Praise God. And so Hebrews 11 verse 20 or 10 rather, verse 23 once again says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Well, that's God. Our God is faithful, and what he said, he will do it. And that's why when we believe God and it begins to change how we think, then we begin to say what he says. And that's how we receive the promises of God, is through confession. Once again, the word confession is the same word, homologia. It's also translated in the King James as profession, which gives us a greater understanding that a Christian should be a professional. Someone who is continually professing what they believe in their heart. How would you like it if you went to the doctor and, you know, you had an injury on your arm, and the doctor said, oh, you got a cut, you just need a Band-Aid. No, man, you're expecting that doctor to show some of the wisdom and the knowledge that he has. You have a laceration that's 7 centimeters, and you're going to require sutures and 7 to 10 days of recovery, and then you'll return for the suture removal. You expect him to talk like a doctor. Well, a Christian should talk like a professional. We should be professors of what we believe, not just spewing out what we see, how we feel, how it looks, how she talked to me, how he talked to me, all this kind of garbage. No, man, we're supposed to be spiritual. And being spiritual means that we believe God's word, and then we speak God's word. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to some of our emails. We're going to have a caller here, I believe, in just a moment. Gary, just butt in when he calls in. He's trying to get a hold of you, but the 800 number, he said, wasn't working.
And we're working on that right now, Pastor.
Okay, and you'll find out why he couldn't call in as well. Maybe I gave him the wrong number. Praise God. Okay, so let's go to some of our emails starting from last week. And hope you're listening from last week, because we're going to answer your questions now and your emails. Got an email here last week from Bonnie. And Bonnie says, good evening, Pastor. Does the Bible say anything about the death penalty? What does an eye for an eye mean? Should we believe in that as Christians? Thank you. That's a great question, Bonnie. So yes, an eye for an eye is in the scripture. And Jesus actually quoted it as well. It's in the law. And the law says an eye for an eye, which means that if you poke out an eye, you get your own eye poked out. So if you take somebody's life, then you also should have your life taken. And that's where the death penalty comes in. The death penalty has been in operation in many countries for a long time. It's still in operation in many states and in the federal law of the United States. It's called capital punishment. That if you murder someone, you can be tried for capital punishment, and then execution can take place. I'm trying to find where Jesus said it in Matthew.
I just want to let you know that Pastor Chris is on the line whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'm just going to finish this email real quick, and then we will take his call. Praise God. So Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 38, he said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him and turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. So Jesus is now bringing in the law of love. And in John chapter 13, Jesus explains that I give you a new commandment, and the commandment is that you love one another. And so the law is that we love one another. Now, can you say that the death penalty in today's day would be against God's law? No, God is going to honor the law. And the scripture even tells us in Romans chapter 13 that the police officers and military soldiers and those that have to take a life, that they are the ministers of God, and they bear not the sword in vain. And so if you mess with them, and if you mess with other people that they are protecting, that they are ministers of God up to the death penalty, which means if they kill somebody in the line of duty, they are not a murderer, they are a minister of God. When the scripture says, thou shalt not kill, that is a poor translation. That is not how it should have read. How it should read is, thou shalt not murder, or thou shalt not take an innocent life in vain. So I hope that answers your question, Bonnie. If you got more on that, just email us back. We'd love to explore that more with you. Praise God. But tonight we got a really special guest on the line, my best friend. He is the author of Greek for the Week. He's a professor at Moody Bible College in Chicago, which is a world-renowned Bible college, been around for a long time. He's also the founder and pastor of Light of Today Church in Novi, Michigan. He's the host of the popular podcast Greek for the Week, seen on several internet platforms. He's got a huge internet following on Instagram. He is a sought-after Greek scholar for his ability to make God's Word come alive in a unique way, and his publisher is always pestering him to write new books. And I'm holding in my hand, those of you watching on Facebook, his brand new book, Greek for the Week. It's called The Greek Word Study, 90 Ancient Words That Unlock Scriptures. Welcome to the show, Pastor Chris. I can't hear him, Gary.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this technology working for us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And Chris, are you there?
He's real distant. I can barely hear him.
Yeah, we can barely hear him too. I'm just trying to figure that out. So hold on.
All right. Well, we'll take another email here in a second. I'm going to send him the, I don't know if you got Zoom on your cell phone there, Chris. I'm going to send you the meeting number here real quick.
And Chris, are you there? Yeah, we can barely hear you. We don't know why
tell
that
him,
is.
Tell him to join us on Zoom. I just sent him the link information.
Okay. And Pastor Chris, Pastor John sent you a Zoom link. If you can do that as well for your phone, and we'll get you on Zoom.
So we'll get right back to Chris in a minute. We got another email here tonight from our friend Mary. Mary says, thanks for preaching the word, the truth. I wish more people would listen and learn. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate you. We call you blessed. Another email here tonight from Robert. Last Sunday. Robert says, hi, first time listener to your show from Quebec City, Quebec. Amazing. Truth in the Word, Robert. Thanks, Robert. We had a great show last week. I'm so glad that you tuned in. I hope you're back with us tonight. If you are, send me a quick email. Love to know that you're back with us again. We'll see how much you really liked the show last week. Praise God. Another email here tonight from Ray. Ray says, can you please give a little history of the King James Version of the Bible? I'm not sure which version to get. Well, you know what? I'm going to let Chris do that because he is the Bible scholar. So we'll come back to you in just a second, Ray. Another email here last week, last one from Carl. Carl says, I love the show tonight. Very looking forward to hearing it again. Newsweek, God willing. Next week, God willing. Thanks for the blessings of teachings, Wallace. Thanks so much, Wallace. God bless you. Is Chris there now?
He is not here yet on Zoom. We're waiting to let him in.
I forgot you made me the... Here we go. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I think I can let him in as well. Let's see.
He's coming in now.
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me, guys?
There he is. Hey, brother.
Hey. It's good to
I just
you.
Gave you an off-the-chart introduction. I don't know if you heard it.
I heard it. Fantastic. I was going to say, I'm going to hire you to come on the road and introduce me. I don't think I've ever gotten an introduction like that before.
Praise God.
It's good to be with you, man.
It's so good to be with you. It's
a wonderful audience. And,
it's always awesome to have you on. And how are you doing?
Doing well. I'm doing well. This is a little impromptu. I was having some pizza here and decided to take a break and be with you guys. So
praise God. You know, we're still floating on that Rhema word you gave our church a few months ago. Corona don't own ya.
You know, that's taken a little bit.
I revisit that regularly because in the season that we're in, you know, when you're so surrounded by trouble and adversity, it can
claim that longer than we expected, but we're still standing there, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it can try to get in you. And that's why, you know, walking by faith in this hour is so important. And I believe that it's going to be even more critically important in the days to come.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, that was the word that I was going to share with my church on New Year's Eve. It was about walking by faith. This is going to be a year we had walked and civil unrest and stuff going on. But you know what? It's a pertinent word. 2021, 2022, 2023. Be walking by faith. That's what we've been taught, and that's what we're going to do.
Amen. Amen. Hey, before we start talking about your book, I was hoping you could help answer this question. Came in last week, and it says, can you give a brief history on the King James Version of the Bible? I'm not sure what version to get. Thanks. This is from Ray.
What? Yeah, so there's a lot of people that believe in King James only, and you know, I think that's a very fundamentalist way of looking at it, because the King James Version, since it first came out in the 16th century, has been revised 11 times, and there was 5,000 manuscripts that were used to put the King James Version together. And there was implicit biases in there, and I'm not saying it's a bad translation, but it was translated in Old English. Since the time the King James Version was translated, we now have over 11,000 manuscripts. Anyone that understands the text criticism understands that these manuscripts are used and they're carefully looked at by different types of experts in the languages. And now that we have 11,000 manuscripts versus 5,000 manuscripts, we can come up with a more accurate version of the text. And I mean, I don't have a problem with the King James Version, but I think there's a place for it, because when you really understand translation, okay, people would say, well, you know, you're taking words out of the Bible, you're putting words in the Bible. Well, the fact is that there's no word-for-word translation that's going to work from the Greek. When you translate Greek, you're not translating word-for-word, because if you find a word that's in, say, the perfect tense, you have to add words to that to bring the tense out, because our language doesn't function the same way as it functions. I mean, if you go to Italy, you know, to say hello, how are you, that may be a couple words, but here in America, it's one, two, or three words. So there's never a word-for-word translation.
Right.
And I would say there's a place for all translations. I like the NLT when I'm studying and doing my devotions. I like the ESV when I'm really looking at the Greek words, because that's more of a literal translation. And I would say, you know what, if you really want to be a faithful exegete, find three or four that you like and go through them. I can promise you there's no Dr. Evil sitting behind a translation committee trying to steer people wrong. I just don't think that. I mean, there's exegetical decisions that have to be made in every translation, and I think people are doing their best job for it. I think that the King James Version is good because the prose is really nice, and it's a very, I would say, real respectful version, I guess, for lack of a better word. It's proper, is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a lot of those words we don't use, because language is fluid, and language and words change.
Right.
And so, because the words changes, we have to move translations over to get with the language of the time, because words don't always mean the same in every as time goes by. So translation committees who are faithful to the text have done their best to move those languages over and be faithful to what they found in the original in the manuscripts that we have. And so if you want to use King James, use King James. If you don't want to use King James, you can use something else.
I think the NLT.
I don't think there's much problem there.
Yeah, I think what's so important is to get the word in you. And I know the Lord told me early on is give the Holy Spirit something to work with. And so it's all about renewing the mind. And I know when I first got saved, I devoured the Word of God. That's all I read. That's all I did was the Bible, Bible, Bible. And I got myself an NIV. I'm trying to remember the name of the one. Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Spirit-Filled Life Bible. First Bible I ever got. A lot of commentary in it. And it was Spirit-Filled, so it was pretty spot on. But the deal was, is get it in you. And the NIV, although there's a lot of criticism with it today, was very easy to read. And so my first Bible, I read the NIV daily, every day for probably 3 months straight, every single day, hours a day I'd read the Bible. It's all I did. And after that, I was turned on to one of your and I favorite Bibles, which is the Dake Study Bible, D-A-K-E-S. Yes, yes. Yep. And I still have it on my shelf. I've got one here and one at the office. And the Dake Study Bible was in King James. And so I began to read the King James continually. And of course, like for my listeners, I was saying a few minutes ago, the scripture says study to show yourself approved. So you can't just, you know, read the word and not understand it. You got to understand it. You know, Proverbs 4 says, get wisdom with all of your getting, get an understanding. So you got to seek and you got to study. And we were talking about looking up the words. You'd be proud of me, Chris. I just gave him a great exegesis on homologia. And good. We broke it down from homu, the compound word there, homu, and logos, and talked about what that means and the depth of it. And that's what you have to do. You got to study and break it down. But if Ray was going to ask you your personal opinion, what Bible should he get right now to just read the Bible, what would you recommend?
I would say whatever one he's comfortable using and understands best. If that's the Message Bible, go for it. If that is the King James, go for it. Don't let people sway him, but whatever one he's comfortable with. I mean, if he feels...
But if you've never read it, you're not going to know what you're comfortable with. It's like...
I would say NLT. I would tell him go with NLT.
Yeah, NLT is good. The problem with the Message Bible, and you'll hear me quote and teach from the Message at times, but the Message is very much... It's not a... Why don't you tell them real quickly the difference between a version, a translation, and a paraphrase?
Yes. So a translation is when a committee gets together and they use their they have to make exegetical decisions and they are representing their convictions theologically. But I would say a paraphrase is when somebody comes along by themselves individually and they're not practicing text criticism, which is not something I can get into at the moment.
Right.
they're not using text criticism, they're not examining manuscripts, they're just simply trying to make real, you know, stunning.
This is translation you're explaining or paraphrase?
This is a paraphrase.
Okay, paraphrase, got it.
Like a paraphrase.
Now with a translation, so are they using manuscripts?
So I would say that yes, they're using manuscripts and they're doing all of the homework that's necessary, and it's more technical and official. So when I say it's like the Message Bible or the Passion Translation, which is popular, some people talk about the Mirror Translation. Those are like commentaries. They're really no different from a commentary. It's what somebody thinks it says, and they're doing their best. But I would say that with the Message and with the Passion, and with like the Mirror Translation, there's some definite biases in there that I don't think necessarily reflect the text versus what somebody thinks the text might be saying. So I would say get yourself a real translation. NLT is a translation, ESV is a translation. Those are the two that I use.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to explain that. Now let's talk about why you're really here. Talk to us about this new amazing book. I'm holding it up on the camera.
Well, thanks for getting it. I appreciate you bringing it on there with your audience. I felt that we have a lot of great Greek word studies that have been done over the years. I just really felt it was time for an update, because I think that as I grew up and I really enjoyed words and understanding what words meant, and I just felt like, hey, you know what, let's take some of these Greek studies that are out there that were done by Kenneth Woost or like, you know, Rick Renner or people like that, and let's really just bump it up into the 21st century. And I had a methodology, which means that I was going to take the word, I was going to show you what the word means, but then I was going to use a 21st century contemporary illustration. I always start off every lesson with a story, something that's kind of quirky, something from the news that's not easily accessible, a funny story that you can relate to and use that to illustrate the word. I took 90 words from the New Testament that I felt were really imperative or things that are overlooked or glossed over that you don't really see, and kind of put them into a fun devotion so that you could really get a lot of scholarship, a lot of historical context behind it, understand the grammatical structuring of the word and how it was used in antiquity, how it was used perhaps in Greek culture at that time. Every single day you can have something that's scholarly, that's funny, that's contemporary, and that will build your faith.
That's awesome. I have one problem with this, though. There's only 90 words.
What's...
I want like 790. You know, are you going to do a number two on this book?
You know what? Right, Whitaker can often tell me you want a number two. If they ask me to do a number two, I actually was thinking about what words I would use for a number two. And I would love to do a number two. I'm trying to do a book now called Strange Scriptures. Wrote it over the COVID time, and it's some of the most verses in the New Testament.
That,
perhaps like the verse where the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians to go castrate themselves.
Wow.
I did a devotion on it, how you can apply that to your daily life. Hope for doing stuff.
Does he keep fading out on you as well, Gary?
Yeah, it's his cell signal. That's what it is. It's not Zoom. It's not our system. It's his cell signal.
Okay. Are you still there, Chris?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, we lost you for a second. So I want to see if I can put you on the spot for a minute. We talked about this word today. I don't know if it's in your book. I was trying to find it. Did you break down the word hold fast? I see hold firm. Oh yeah, you did. Hold firm, which is help me with my pronunciation now. Echo. E-C-H-O, echo. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, so epsilon key omega.
Yeah, so hold firm, echo. The one that we looked at today was kata echo, which is where we get the word hold fast from Hebrews 10:23.
Right.
Where he says...
So what text did you preach?
Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And hold fast is kata echo.
Sure.
Can you give us a little Greek on that?
Anytime you're dealing with a compound word like that, the kata that precedes it is going to emphasize it. So it's always going to be off the top of my head. It's always going to be something that's a lot stronger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's always for emphatic use. Now, people always ask me, what is the Greek word mean? What I always tell them is, what is the context telling you that it means? This would be an emphatic holding firm to something. So instead of using echo, he might have used kata echo because it was maybe to him of greater importance. What was the verse that you used it in?
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering.
Yeah, so that would make a lot of sense in Hebrews because, you know, the Hebrew Christians were under they had not yet resisted unto blood. So the historical context is telling you that they're not yet at the point where they're dying for their faith, but it looks like it's going to be going that way.
Mm.
It looks like it could end up going that way. And anytime things are going in the wrong direction, okay, there's always going to be nerves and there's always going to be the opportunity to recant. And it seems like that in our lives so many times, that when things don't seem to be going the way that we expected them to go or that we had hoped they were going to go,
wow,
start losing a little bit of hope, we say, you know what?
Wow.
We're just going to recant a little bit and we're going to start backing up and inching away.
Wow.
He's telling them there is, don't inch away, hold fast, make this a strong holding fast, hold tight to this, hold tight to your profession because their profession at that time was their witness.
Right.
It wasn't just confessing, it was their witness for Christ. And so that's going to lead then into chapter 11, where he talks about all the people before that did that and keeping and fixing their eyes on Jesus. And so the use of that thing is, as believers, we need to hold fast to our confession.
That's
this time
it.
Of COVID and this time of what appears to be, you know, lockdown, however people
that's it.
Feel about it. Okay, we can't recant, and now is not the time to do that.
The definition I got for kata was...
emphatic.
Yeah, the definition I got for kata was something that comes downward. it carries the force of something that comes down so hard and so heavily, it is empowering and dominating to the point of being taken control of by conquest. And then echo means I have it or it's in my possession. So when you put it together, it means that you're holding on to it so tight that you're dominating it, even sitting on it so it doesn't slip away.
There you go. There's
praise God. And that's what we need in this hour.
So imagine. And
go ahead, imagine.
Well, perhaps, you know, if you think about that, imagine onto your profession like that. You're clamping down on what you believe about Jesus Christ, not letting that go. And you know something? You say, well, that's not so hard. Well, think about how hard it is when you're holding on to Christ, but things aren't going in society.
That's right.
The way that you're supposed to go. You think that, you know, it's becoming harder to become a Christian and live the life that Christ has called us to live, and culture begins to change around us. It's challenging us, though culture seems to be changing its conviction, its morals, its doctrine of Christ, good way, but to clamp down,
right,
faster.
But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes.
Yes, sir. Yes,
praise
sir.
God. Well, I'm so glad that you came on tonight. Maybe you can come on in the next few weeks and we can do a little more talk from your book.
I would love that. That would be fantastic, and I appreciate you having me on. And if they want to find it, they can go on Amazon and type in Greek Word Study and Chris Palmer. They'll find
it. So the book is published by Whitaker House, and you can go on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. I bought this from Amazon.ca, delivered right to my house. It's a beautiful hardcover book. And yep. It'll be a great blessing. This is going to be one of my reference books. I have several of them. There's another scholar that both Chris and I very much respect in the Greek, and his name is Rick Renner. I'm holding his book up right now. And mm-hmm. these are books that I refer to often when I'm looking up the Greek. And the teaching I just elaborated on a little bit on Kata Echo was teaching from Rick Renner. And now I've got soon to be Dr. Chris Palmer's book here. he's working on his PhD right now. And these are awesome mm-hmm. reference books. So you may not read it as a book, but you could read it as a 90-day devotion, one a day or 5 days a week, and go through this as a devotion. And the teaching from this Greek will really bless you. So I encourage you to get it. Chris, thanks again for coming on. We'll have you on in the next few weeks.
Thanks, Pastor. And hey, we got to do Uganda again sometime, man.
I was telling the congregation today, I'm still planning to go to Uganda this December. I just got an email today that Israel has opened their tourism again. And there's a bunch of nations that are in the green zone that don't have to isolate for 14 days, and that includes Canada. So hopefully we're going to get to Israel and to Africa still this year. But, you know, I was teaching my congregation today, right, Chris, that in these times of trouble, and the Lord taught me this many years ago, that you have to take one day at a time. And when you're in a trial or a difficulty, it's everything is daily. And you learn to trust God daily. Give me this day my daily bread. And you trust him one day at a time. And God will give you the manna, the bread, the word that you need for that day. And, you know, he gave me this little saying years ago. He said, yesterday is gone and tomorrow's not here yet. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So you just got to stay focused in the day and in the moment when you're going through a time of trial.
That's right.
Praise
God. That's right.
God.
Cast the echo, right?
That's it. Hold fast. Don't let go of that profession. Don't let go. Keep your words the same. Praise God. Amen. Well, God, we love you, brother, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. Hey, John, I love you, man.
Love you, brother. Bye bye.
Sounds good. Okay, bless you.
Got another few more.
Bye bye.
Got a few more emails here we're going to try and get to in the next 3 minutes. Got an email here tonight from Yola. Yola says, hello, Pastor. Sounds great. Looking good. Thanks for the prayers. Amen. Thank you, Yola. You made my night. Praise the Lord. Got another email here tonight from Gwen. Gwen says, love your radio show. Thank you very much for doing your show every week. We love the truth in the word. Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen. God bless you. Hey, remember, folks, when you call, when you write in, let us know where you're writing from so we can give a shout out to your area. Got an email here tonight from Brita. Brita says, hi, Pastor. I just started to read the Bible again. understand. My question is, where do I start? Where would a beginner start? Thank you for your advice, Brita. Great question, Brita. What I would encourage you to do is start with the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of St. John, and then read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And at the same time, begin to read the epistles of Paul. Start with Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, etc. Because these, the Pauline revelation is so critical to your born-again spirit. You need to know and understand what he's teaching. And so, like I was saying earlier on the show tonight, give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Just start reading the Bible. Just get it in you. Read John, read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, read Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the book of Acts. Read the New Testament. Don't go into the Old Testament quite yet. If you want to read a psalm a day or two psalms a day or a proverb a day, fine. But don't substitute that for the New Testament. You need to read the New Testament, especially the Pauline epistles. That's food for your spirit. You can follow us in our Bible reading program. Go to wordoffaithtoronto.com. That's wordoffaithtoronto.com. It says Stay Filled at the top. Click on Stay Filled. Go down to Bible Bookmark. At Bible Bookmark, click on that, and you'll follow a five-day-a-week reading program, one chapter a day, 5 days a week for 1 year. You'll have read the entire Bible. Praise God, the entire New Testament. Thank you, Brita. Another quick email here tonight from our friend Jazz. Jazz says, hello, quick question. Will or does anyone know how peace will finally come to the earth? We are all sick of the hatred and pestilence. Yeah, me too, Jazz, and more of it. Romans chapter 8 tells us that all the creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's coming. Do we know when? No. But the next major event in terms of Jesus will be the rapture of the church. And then 7 years later will be the Battle of Armageddon. Christ will set up his kingdom and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Another email here tonight from our friend Susan. Susan says, hi, Pastor. I heard you talking about the coming of Christ again. What will happen after that? Will the end of the world come and everyone alive or die? Then what? New humans born to start over? Please explain. Susan, that's an amazing question. One of my favorite subjects. And we're going to get to you next week because I want to really spend some time exploring on that. And Susan, if you want to call in next week and let's do an interactive talk, and I'll answer your questions in real time, and we'll break it down, because it's a great question and a lot of Christians are ignorant about this subject. Ignorance is not a sin. We just don't want to stay ignorant. Last email of the night is from Ken. Ken says, hello, I'm a brand new listener from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. What is your website, please? Thank you very much. Many blessings to you from our Lord. Thank you so much, Ken. Our website is spiritoffaithradio.com. Spiritoffaithradio.com. Our church website is wordoffaithtoronto.com. Wordoffaithtoronto.com. Thank you so much. And once again, we're going to come back. The only email we didn't really elaborate on tonight was Susan. And Susan, you've got an invitation to call in next week. Loved it to interact with you, and we'll talk about this subject, because once again, a lot of Christians don't understand God's plan for man. One more quick plug is a book called God's Plan for Man by Finis Dake, and you can order it on Amazon. I'm holding it up on the screen for those of you on Facebook Live, and it's called God's Plan for Man by Finis Dake. And you can pick it up. It's another great reference book to have on your shelves. And he does a great job explaining God's plan for man, which includes the teaching of dispensationalism, and it includes the teaching on the millennial reign of Christ. So that's another great one for your bookshelves. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.